My name's Jesse, and I'm the youth pastor here at Camden Haven Anglican Church, and it's great to be here today. And I'm going to tell a bit of my experience when I was younger. When I was young, I used to love volcanoes. I was captivated by the destruction of this volcano in particular, which destroyed a town called Pompeii. Before the eruption of 79 AD, there was not even a word for volcano. It was that big. It was that explosive. And it impacted the whole empire. There were hundreds of people buried in Pompeii's ruins. Some were finding security in the cellars. Others were found in the upper rooms of buildings. In particular, there was a Roman guard. The guard was found standing at the city gate where he had been placed by his captain, grasping his weapon. While the earth shook and the streams of ash covered him, he stood steadfast, he stood devoted at his post. And there this faithful man remained standing for centuries. Today we'll be investigating another virtue of the Spirit, faithfulness. Faithfulness is related to words such as loyalty, reliability, devotion, steadfastness, and commitment. And in order to understand the depth of this faithfulness, I thought it would be good to firstly understand God's faithfulness to his promises in particular. One of my favorite promises in Scripture is given to a guy which we all might know. His name's Abraham and his descendants. And Abraham was born in this place called Ur, located in Babylon. And Babylon is associated with another place called Babel. And Babel was the place where people rebelled against God by not subduing the earth as God intended them. God then scattered them and confused their languages. And now we are left asking this question. Is God going to be faithful to his original plan to establish his kingdom on earth? Is God going to be faithful? Is he going to keep his promises, his plans to his people? And the answer, guys, is yes. Look at chapter 12 of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 11. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Yahweh, God, tests Abraham's allegiance. God called Abraham to be the father of his grand plan to reestablish his kingdom. Knowing this, God called him to leave everything behind for this grand mission. And imagine being in Abraham's situation. Go from your country. Leave your pleasures, leave your identity, leave your culture, leave behind your friends, your shopping center, your beautiful house, all your clothes, your designer clothes, all your pleasures, and follow me. This would have been extremely difficult for Abraham, but by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, he followed God. He relied on God. God's commands were irresistible to Abraham. He trusted the seven promises God gave him in the next couple verses. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham." These seven promises to Abraham were full of goodness and blessing. These promises reveal God's desire to faithfully reestablish his kingdom, to bring about his grand plan. And by faith, Abraham had to rely on these promises. He did not even receive all the blessings promised by God in his own life. He only saw and welcomed the blessings of God's promises from a distance. And these promises still stand firm today. We read Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, the non-Jews, by faith and announce the gospel, the good news, in advance to Abraham. Even back then, the gospel was heard. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And God mercifully allows us by faith to become God's children. This is amazing blessing. And as we wait for God's promises to be filled in completeness, there'll be times where we cry. We call out to God. Are you even there, God? You might be wondering, why do we say things like that? Well, we say this because we are foreigners and aliens in this world. Because as God's children, the world is not our home. And while the world is being drunk on things like alcohol, by faith, Christians strive to please God by withholding from drunkenness. While managers emotionally abuse their laborers, by faith, Christians strive to coach them through their difficulties and rely on God in that process. While marriage promises are broken, by faith, Christians graciously strive to devote themselves to their spouses. While some parents lash at their children, by faith, Christians strive to patiently direct them, to enable them to have an opportunity to hear the good news. Because as they see their parent love them and are patient with them, "Mom and Dad, that shows that you love me." They're faithful parents. And whilst the world spends all their money on holidays, dream homes, and every material comfort, by faith, Christians strive to justly share and help others. Because God is the one who gave them these things. And while the world spends time with people like themselves, by faith, Christians leave their comfort zones like Abraham, so that all nations will be blessed through the good news of Christ, our King who is building his eternal kingdom now. Abraham is a model to us, encouragement of faithfulness to all. Like Abraham, I encourage each one of you to stand firm in this faithfulness by relying on God's plans, God's promises. However, it doesn't stop there. God's faithfulness is proclaimed. Moses is one of the prophets who proclaimed God's faithfulness after the Exodus. Before the Israelites entered the promised land, Moses preached a sermon which reminded his whole people of how God liberated them from Egypt, freed them from Pharaoh. And he says in chapter 7, which Lucas read, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept his oath. He swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God here is deeply attached to his people. There's so much love. He could have chosen a great nation to enjoy his loving presence, but he chose the smallest and weakest nation to display his awesomeness. It is like choosing a chihuahua when you could choose a Great Dane. And to show his faithfulness to his kingdom plan, God saved Israel from their slavery in Egypt. He displayed his awesome power in freeing them, in liberating them. He rescued them from the evil hands of Pharaoh, who was the powerhouse of that day. Yet God is more powerful. He keeps to his promises. He liberated his people. And God's people were no longer in slavery. The yoke of slavery which bound them to Pharaoh was destroyed. Yahweh rescued his people from the sorrow of murder, the whips which lashed their back at day, and every evil which haunted their families at night. And by faith, Moses proclaimed, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." This God is the faithful God. And by faith, Moses proclaimed that God's loving faithfulness. His love is full of goodness. It outlasts thousands of generations, which I think it means his love goes on for all eternity. And God is good. His love is eternal. And that's why Moses proclaimed his faithfulness. Now, every time I go to Woolworths, I'm given the opportunity to be faithful. I stand at the checkouts, waiting to buy my groceries. And then the employee says, "Hello, how are you going today?" I respond, "Great, thank you. I just went for a walk with the dog and just finished my assignment." Now you may say, "I've done nothing wrong, but I wonder if I was using that opportunity wisely, faithfully. For I could have said, I took my dog for a walk and enjoyed God's creation and then finished my assignment about Jesus' resurrection. But even though there was conviction in my heart to stimulate a spiritual conversation, I feared man more than God. I didn't give that opportunity for that person at the checkout to ask, what is it about God's creation which is good? What do you like about it? I was too worried about my own desires. I was fearful. And friends, we declare that Christ is our faithful Lord, but often fail to display that faithfulness in our lives through simple things like that, being honest about who we are when we receive conviction by the Spirit to say these things. We often fear the world even more than God because we enjoy the pleasures of approval. We often fail to open our mouths of God's love. Even though my sins are crucified on the cross, they still affect me daily. Hatred, cruelty, vain glory, the desires of approval, applause of others. I know my faith is in Christ, yet I struggle to remain faithful. I struggle with sin daily. We must then ask God, please destroy the fear from the world that flows from me so that I may live a life of faithfulness. Help me remember the wonderful knowledge of your love, your liberating love, so that I may declare it to all people. Lord, help me proclaim like Moses, God, you are the faithful God, keeping your covenant love for thousands of generations. As we await heaven's glory, God, help us to, by faith, disregard the earthly shame we may endure for the sake of the good news of Jesus, which gives salvation to all who believe. Friends, by faith, know that God is freeing us to live under his awesome rule, his good rule. Faithfully serve Christ the best you can. Proclaim his work of freedom from sin in your lives. This is the freedom given to us by the Father, purchased by Christ on the cross, and relish in the spirit of freedom. And we are people of freedom. Yet we struggle to live as people of freedom. If we are redeemed people, we are redeemed to love God, enjoy his daily affection, and faithfully proclaim his name. A faithful servant of Christ strives to point people to the living God, just as a soldier is conscripted to stand at a gate of volcanic lava. We are conscripted to declare the saving love of our faithful God. So friends, stand firm together in faithfulness by proclaiming God's work of freedom, and which we know is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us from sin and sets us free. And lastly, God's faithfulness must be reproduced despite the pain. If you want to understand the depth of God's faithfulness, consider Christ and his crucifixion. People watched him suffer. Leaders scoffed at him, made fun of him. The soldiers mockingly said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. If you're really the Son of God, get down from that cross." The sorrow Jesus felt would have been immense. I could not imagine it. His hands and feet were nailed. His friends had betrayed him. His disciples refused to comfort him in his times of hardship before that. Many disowned him when he desperately needed prayer. On the cross, he was experiencing immeasurable shame. He was nailed to a cross, which was a symbol of being cursed. And then a criminal beside him hurled insults at him to make it even worse. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The criminal is aggressive. He reproduces the hatred of the crowd who are throwing insults at Jesus. Then the other criminal said, on the other side of Jesus, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence?" The second criminal showed devotion to Christ, the complete opposite to what the other criminal did. He then increased his pain. He put his limbs on the nails so that he could loudly vocalize his love for Christ, so that even the gospel writers could write it down. And by faith, the second criminal defended his new king. And by faith, he increased his shame and associated himself with Jesus. And the defender then proclaimed, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The defender on the cross became a man of faithfulness in the most unlikely circumstance. He did not walk alongside Christ. He was not taught by him at all. But suddenly he rose higher than all the other disciples who walked alongside Christ for 3 years. The defender on the cross became a man of faithfulness in the most unlikely circumstance. By faith, the second criminal increased his pain and shame to celebrate the Lord who had saved him. And I feel both sadness and joy meditating on this story. I'm challenged by the criminal's faithfulness. He elevated Christ far above all his self-interests. He then cried out in faith, "Remember me, Jesus, remember me." With a mangled body, he had hope that Christ would give him freedom from his evil life before that. And Jesus answered him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Basically, Jesus responded, "I will indeed remember you in my eternal kingdom." And by faith in Christ, we are promised this paradise as well. This paradise to come reminds us that earth is not our home. We are strangers. This promise of paradise is a sign that God is establishing his mighty kingdom now, when the gospel goes out to all nations. And if we are God's liberated people through Christ's death, the second Exodus, then the Spirit of Christ helps us as citizens of heaven now. And that's awesome. The Spirit sets us free to live the free life. As aliens and strangers in this world, we then faithfully remain loyal to Christ every day, striving for faithfulness, reproducing God's faithfulness, even though it will bring us to more pain and shame. I'm thankful for my mother's faithfulness. When I was baptized, she made a promise to raise me up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus. By faith, she helps me and my siblings relish the promises of God. She revealed the promises to God of salvation in her life. Since Christ's good news shaped her life, we were naturally drawn to Christ through her steadfast witness to these plans of freedom. Even though other people put pressure on her regarding her promises and even rejected her because of her Christian walk, keeping to her promises, by faith she endured through those hard times because she was living in light of the promises of God, the promise which brings salvation to all who believe. I'm also thankful for Paul the Apostle. By faith in Christ, he was imprisoned. He was flogged harshly, guys. He was constantly exposed to death on numerous occasions. He was lashed by whips, beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, endangered, often sleepless and hungry, thirsty, and pressured daily by Satan's schemes. However, by faith, he remembered Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, King David, which helped him endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may too obtain their promised salvation with eternal glory. Remember then, by faith, we are supernatural creatures who faithfully suffer for Christ's message of salvation. Christ's message shapes our life. Christ every day. And by faith, we are called to endure every hardship so that God may continue establishing his kingdom of paradise as the gospel goes out to all people. As God's children, let us cry, Father, help me suffer as your child. Help me bear the body marks of Jesus, the body marks of complete suffering in allegiance and loyalty to him. Help me be supernaturally transformed by the fruit of his spirit. Help me persevere in faithfulness like a guard standing at his post, knowing the pain of lava which will come. So I want to ask you these questions. What is your by faith legacy that you'll carry on to those around you, the next generation of disciples who are here amongst you today? Does your by faith legacy point to someone else's legacy? Does your by faith legacy point to the glorious and wonderful legacy of Christ, our King, who brings salvation, freedom through the gospel, the good news? Does your life point to Christ? Is your life shaped by his faithfulness? Knowing that you're going to fail, but do you focus on him? Do you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God? Do you consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart? Does Christ shape your life? Does his faithfulness shape your life? When our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we will reproduce his legacy of faithfulness despite the pain. It's going to be hard. We're going to fail. But that's our challenge given to us, which the author of Hebrews helps us see. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he wants you to reproduce his faithfulness. So are you doing that? Are you striving for that? Are you striving to live a life in allegiance, loyalty to your God? Or are you more worried about the things of the world, the things not of God? Do you care about your lost brothers and sisters in the world? Do you care about those who are around you each day? Do you desire for them to know this gospel, this news? Friends, stand firm in faithfulness. Keep at it. Keep going, guys. Keep running the race. Keep enduring. Keep persevering together, because it's all for the glory of Christ. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God of love and faithfulness, full of goodness. And by faith, help us rely on your plans to reestablish your kingdom. By faith, help us proclaim God's work of liberation from sin. And by faith, help us reproduce Christ's legacy of faithfulness despite the pain, knowing that we are going to fail, but help us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray this in your name. Amen.